The Second Oldest Profession, A World History of Espionage, Part 1, Lecture 3, The Roman Empire.
For much of its history, ancient Rome lacked anything resembling a centralized, institutional intelligence service, either foreign or domestic. Some scholars argue that staying true to their roots as simple shepherds, the Romans disdained all intrigue. A more likely explanation lies in the absence of a grand Roman imperial strategy, a view debated by modern historians. Under the Republic, the annual changes in leadership and high-ranking staff created a situation in which the leadership could only react to external events. Indeed, some historians have even speculated that much of the expansion of the Roman Republic was a result of ad hoc campaigns that responded to other events or were carried out by generals for their own personal glory. If this is an accurate assessment of Roman military history, no centralized intelligence agency could have been created. One final possibility is that the lack of a centralized intelligence service was a function of the competing nature of the Roman elites, the Roman aristocracy. Since the government could fall under the control of any given family, different factions might have had more fear that a powerful intelligence apparatus would fall under the control of their rivals or enemies than hope that would fall into their own hands. So that Roman elites found themselves better able to impede their rivals than to take control on their own. While such a policy worked well for each individual family, the effect on the history of the Roman Republic as a whole over the long term would prove devastating. Until 390 BCE, and in stark contrast to military political administrations in China and Greece, Rome had no serious intelligence assets. Defensively, the first warning the Roman Republic had of trouble would be an enemy's arrival at their gates when surrounding peasants came scurrying in for protection. Offensively, Roman generals relied heavily on superstition, on what they called spiritual intelligence, which consisted of various forms of astrology and prophecy. For example, it was thought that by judging the direction that the entrails of a slaughtered animal fell, one could gain useful insights into future battles. But I should emphasize here, by no means was this form of superstition passed off as intelligence a uniquely Roman trait. Later on in its history, successful Roman generals would use their enemies' beliefs in spiritual intelligence to gain a tactical advantage. They would play their enemies' own superstitions against them. Caesar did this with particular success against the Gauls. This lack of an early warning system changed in 390 BCE, after Rome was attacked by the Gauls. With absolutely no information of their enemies' plans, Rome was saved only because some geese noticed enemy soldiers sneaking into the city and they started squawking. From then on, the Romans developed a basic understanding that as the Republic grew and invariably made enemies, they would need reliable information on the military maneuvers and intentions of their neighbors. Following the Gallic siege of Rome of 390 BCE, the Romans adopted the principle, trust in the gods, but verify. A makeshift acknowledgement that though one must heed the gods, one must also rely heavily on real human intelligence. With this in mind, the Romans began at this time to deploy basic scouting units around their legions and territory. Another important source of intelligence information that originated around this time was the use of foreign exiles, deserters, traitors, and prisoners of war as informants to provide useful information about their home countries.